Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today. Joining me today on the program, Dr. Alice Benton. Hello, Alice.
Good morning. Great to be with you today, Steve.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And Mylon Yurkovich. Hey, Mylon.
Hi, Steve. How are you? I'm glad to be here, too.
Yeah, I'm really good and appreciate everybody joining us. If you want to join us on the program, you can call us right now, 1-800-229-3000. That's the phone number, 1-800-229-3000. Now, Alice, I want you to talk for a minute here. You were at the Restore Conference. It's the retooling of our Women in the Battle Conference, and I heard Larry call me. He said, I would be proud of what happened there this weekend. Tell us about it.
Well, I have to say, I felt miraculous change over the weekend from Friday through Sunday. And I led a group, and I want to say from the beginning, I won't disclose what we talked about in my small group, but I will talk about some generalities of the weekend, that women came. It felt like there was a heavy cloud over all of us as the weekend started. Mm-hmm. A lot of anger, deception, disappointment, and struggling to even be there. People were struggling to get there and having second thoughts. Honestly, it was very difficult for people to arrive. And by Sunday, we went through a transformation. And when we started with anger and disappointment and betrayal, we developed this a sense of comfort, safety, a no shame zone. People were able to hear one another's stories and to tell things that they had been holding on to, some for years, some for decades. Stories of shame, stories of betrayal that they couldn't tell the people in their lives. But there's such safety in these weekends, and the speakers themselves present with vulnerability about their stories. And so they give the rest of us permission to do the same and to take off our mask. And so women develop this sense of safety, and then they become empowered because the weekend teaches them that there is so much that they can do to protect themselves, to protect their homes and their marriages, and to heal no matter what their husband or their partner does.
Well, what do you think's the biggest surprise for the women that come? Just wanting to come to a workshop, life get better, husband's been unfaithful or involved with pornography. What do you think's the biggest surprise for them?
I would say it's two. One, I don't think they know that there is such hope and probability of healing. Mm-hmm. And two, I don't think that they know that there are really concrete steps that they can take with other women who can understand them. But the weekend equips them with that, and they leave knowing what to do to heal. No matter what their partner does, whether their partner enters into healing or not.
Yeah. Well, I'm really excited about this new workshop, this new intensive. It is called Restore, and the goal, restore you, restore your marriage. Right when a guy gets, he starts to have some authenticity, tell you about things, well, that's when it becomes the toughest on you, when you learn the truth. And, boy, the truth sets you free, but it hurts before. And so I'm really glad that we're seeing women healed and that they're surprised at the hope that is there. What a great surprise. And if you ever need hope, our intensives, they kind of break through the shame and the clutter and get you to hope. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Our phone call is 1-800-229-3000. I want to tell you about my experience going to see Lee Strobel's biographical movie, The Case for Christ. As a family, we went. I want to tell you all about it right after this.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here, and I want to invite you to the 2017 New Life Recovery Conference. The theme is Recovery of the Soul. It's May 20th in Leesburg, Virginia, at Leesburg Community Church. You will love this conference if you're a life recovery group leader, if you're a person in recovery, or you're just interested in these biblically based 12 steps. We're going to talk about the neglect of the soul, God, not me, God's love in recovery. We're going to talk about grace over shame and the role of family and intervention. We're going to help you discover how to launch a life recovery group. We're going to help you create a ministry. But more than anything, we're going to help you restore your soul through recovery. Come join us. It's the New Life Recovery Conference, May 20th in Leesburg, Virginia. To sign up, go to liferecoverygroups.com.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. So I took the family. We all went to see The Case for Christ. Amelia's 7. Solomon is 10. And I want to tell you, it was fantastic. I am the biggest critic of Christian movies. The acting is usually not so great. The writing is usually not so great. This, the writing was great, acting was great, the story's great, and we'll be baptizing Amelia and Solomon next Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Misty and I'll be in the tank with them. And in Solomon's group, his age, fifth graders, whenever anybody accepts Christ, dedicates their life to Christ, they have a wall, and you write your name on the wall.
Hmm.
The movie ended. Now, Solomon had said that he was a believer, he was a Christian before this, but the movie ended, he looked at his mom and me and said, "I'm ready to write my name on the wall."
Oh,
and so
what a great
he
moment
did
here.
Yesterday, on Sunday. Hmm. So I got to tell you, it's a great movie. I recommend it. Take the kids. It's just phenomenal. You will love it. I think you'll love it.
Well, the book is so amazing.
Yeah.
And for him to turn that into some autobiographical experience where you can walk through it with him in a video or movie form is just mm-hmm. sounds great.
Yeah. Anyway, I think most people that have listened long enough would know I would not recommend a Christian movie unless it was the exception to the rule. This one really is. Now, let's go and talk to somebody that I'm excited to talk to. It's Eric from Alexandria, Virginia. And Eric, you are the first one on today. Welcome to New Life Live.
Thank you so much, Steve. I love your show.
Thank you.
I also wish that Mylon was my therapist. I've had a lot of bad therapists, I wanted to say, before I get into the kind of painful stuff, there has been victory in my life in the last 10 years. I had a really bad sexual addiction that I went to Every Man's Battle and Celibate Recovery for. And I've been, I'm single, so I've been celibate completely for 8 years and off
Great.
Pornography. So I just wanted to say that. What I wanted to talk about is I have like some severe father wounds. My father was undiagnosed but had a mental illness, and he never worked at all, and I used to hate him for it. And I wound up being diagnosed with bipolar in my early 20s, and I haven't worked in a really long time, and I'm in a very dependent position. And so I wound up very similar to him in some ways, even though I really despised him for yeah. when I was growing up. So I've been to therapy for over 20 years, men's groups, Celibate Recovery, Every Man's Battle, all sorts of support groups, and I've been an avid and tremendous reader of the Bible and other Christian health self-help books. I mean, I've been transparent with other people. I've shared my feelings, my true feelings, with a lot of men, and I still wind up in the same position.
So what's the question for us? You have really done quite a few things, and your life is quite ironic, to say the least. How could we help you? Ask us a question. We'll do our best.
Well, how can I heal these father wounds? I mean, I just want to know. I find myself in the same position as my father, and I don't seem to know. I mean, there's a scripture that says everything is possible to the one who believes, and I think my situation most of the time is impossible to change.
All right, well, let's start with Alice here and see what she has to say. I know she wants to help.
Eric, I first want to thank you for such transparency about your history of struggle and your current struggles. The more men that speak up like you do about sexual addiction history and what you have done to seek healing, you make it okay, permissible for other men to do the same. So first of all, thank you for that beginning. And I want to ask you, with all the work that you have done, and it's been quite a bit, what specifically have you done to work on this issue, your father wounds?
Well, you know, one of the books that connected with me most was Healing the Shame That Binds You by John Bradshaw. That book really connected with me because I developed a lot of shame from the abuse I received by my father, and I've tried to work through it. You know, with therapists, I haven't always found the right therapist. Right now, I'm really struggling with that. And I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to answer that question precisely, but I've tried to work. I've told therapists about my history with my father and my relationship, and
so I'm going to ask. I'm going to jump in to ask another specific question. I hear that you've tried, but it's been tough to really get down and work on that. Could you briefly describe what's your relationship with your father like today?
Well, my father passed away 12 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. I was at his bedside, and I there was forgiveness there. I told him repeatedly to say Jesus loves me over and over again, and kept saying that on his deathbed. And you know, so there was some kind of forgiveness there.
Okay, we want to help you here, Alice. Where do we go from here?
Well, Eric, what I'm wondering is, you did some work with your father there at the end. There was some forgiveness. And I'm curious about your possible anger at yourself for where you are today. You had said that you despise some of those things about him, especially his unemployment. And I wonder if you're angry at yourself for some of the similarities that you're seeing between you and your dad today.
Well, I really love the Lord, and so I don't think I'm angry with myself. I just think that my situation is very hard, because if you don't work in this world, some really bad things can happen to you, you know. And right now I'm on disability, and it doesn't pay me much, so I'm looking at a future of that could be very, very bad if I don't find a way to get employment and everything, but I'm not angry with myself.
Okay.
You know.
So then, Eric, I'll step back in to give a couple of avenues that I would encourage you to explore. Because even though there was forgiveness as your father was dying, forgiveness tends to be a process more than just a one-time conversation. And even though he has passed, there's a lot of work that you can still do today on yourself and even in your relationship with him despite his absence. So I want to give you a list of about three things that you can hold on to and work with once you find another professional. And I know that process can be so frustrating. But the forgiveness process also really needs to include being able to get angry, being able to grieve, being able to lament what you went through. And therapists use a technique called the empty chair, where we imagine that your father is there in the room, and then we guide you through a process of having further conversations and maybe even repetitions of the conversations that you have already had, to allow you to further express and explore the emotions that may still be holding you trapped. And that can be another step, another process in the forgiveness. Writing letters to your father can also be a part of that. But what I really want this to include is doing this with a safe person in a safe place. So continuing to look for a therapist, or if you have a good pastor that could help counsel you through some of these things, I think these would be important steps for you to take. I want to ask Mylan about his take too, and what he would add.
Eric, thank you for calling. I'm very honored by your statement at the beginning of the call. But it would seem that the most difficult thing you're dealing with is your underfunctioning, your underperformance yourself, and that is the wound you want to heal from. Is that accurate?
Yes. It's really damaging to me. It's not working.
I totally agree. And that is the residual effect of your dad's shaming behavior and abuse, that you can't rise up higher, any higher than where he left you. And so I would think that another thing that I would really want to do is I would want to get in with some people that could help me understand what would be the first steps I could take to start employment, and I would start anywhere. I would start with any job. Now, when you talk about, well, I'm not employed, what happens if you go to a job? I presume you've at least had one. What happens when you're there?
I tend to see to feel shame if it's a really kind of menial job, and that can be overwhelming, and I just feel shame about myself, and then, you know, if I have to multitask a lot and everything, I kind of get overwhelmed.
Okay.
Also.
All right. So. But you know what? My first jobs were very menial tasks. I remember working for a guy just breaking up concrete and loaded it onto a truck. That was one of my first jobs, and your goal is to get started, and then to realize we all have to start off in very low levels. You know, that's what the Bible calls humility. And to get used to doing things and doing something every day. And I would get a team around me. I think you've done so much work in the therapy department, and I wouldn't disagree with anything Alice said. But I would also say that finding some sort of a job. I remember a quarterback quite a few years ago that his name escapes me right now. I could get it on a multiple choice test. But, you know, he didn't make the team, and he was bagging groceries. and he came back, and they pulled him out of the grocery store to put him back on the team, and he was bagging groceries.
Kurt Warner.
That's right, Kurt Warner. You're absolutely right. I thought it was Kurt, and that's exactly right. And that's precisely the point, is to get started and then to work through the shame while you're in the midst of a shame-inducing environment and realize work is honorable. And to learn to have somebody.
I guess the shame is that I'm getting started at 45 years of age.
You know what? So hey, you have the best second half ahead of you.
Yeah.
And if you stay stuck there in that place, you'll never do anything. And all I'm saying is start anywhere. You pick a company like Costco or Starbucks or something like that that has great benefits. And they have medical benefits, and they have educational benefits. And to just get started and have a support team around you that will help you stay in that position.
Okay. Now, I want to throw in a different angle on this. And I want to ask you, I'm going to give you three words, and I want you to tell me which you think is the biggest problem for you, okay? Shame, as in kind of the effect your dad had on you in the past, shame, resentment toward your dad, or self-loathing that you do on a day-to-day basis. Which of those is the biggest problem? Shame, resentment, or self-loathing?
I'd say shame.
Okay, so here's what I suggest. I suggest that you get in a group and you work the 12 steps to get over shame. So you would be saying, we admitted that we were powerless over shame and that our lives had become unmanageable. You see what I'm saying? So where anybody else would talk about their problem or alcohol, you talk about shame. I believe if you would work through the 12 steps and the focus would be the shame, because it's destroying your life. It's your biggest obsession. It's the thing that's causing you self-loathing and resentment. I think you could, within 6 months or so, build some character that maybe has been sapped away by the resentment and the shame. I think you could develop some responsibility, and I think you could get some drive back into your life that could change everything. That's if I was your counselor rather than Milan, which I think that'd be a good thing if you had Milan, because I had him and he was really good. But I'd be saying, let's work through a process that'll change everything for you, and that process would be the 12 steps. A lot of people think they're just for alcohol or drugs, and they don't ever work them for a specific problem. But I got to tell you, even if it didn't fix, quote unquote, fix everything, oh my goodness, your life would be so much better. I'll send you a Life Recovery Bible, and we'll be back right after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and just a note to Eric that, you know, always have your medication reevaluated as you go. That's good for everybody. I do, so it changes. Hey, before we go to the next call, let me welcome a new station, WVCB, 1410 AM, and that's in Charlotte, North Carolina. Really glad to have you with us, part of the New Life family. And God bless you, and I hope everybody there enjoys the program. And now we're going to go to our next caller, and that next caller is Soda. And Soda, are you there? Let's talk with you.
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Where are you from? What station do you listen to?
Wava.
Great.
I listen to Wava from Baltimore.
Wonderful. All right. Well, what's going on? What's the question for us?
Well, I'm an older woman, and I have my question is, would I be a sex addict if I watched porn just before me and my husband, who we're an older couple, engage? Would that make me a sex addict?
Well, I think that would depend on a lot of things. But Is this something that you started doing on your own, or did your husband suggest this?
No, I introduced him to that.
Okay, and why did you?
I'm not sure.
How did you get into pornography?
A stepfather used to have a lot of porn when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd sneak and watch.
Yeah. And so now that has become something that kind of increases your desire in being sexual with your husband?
I believe it does, yes. But like I say, I'm older. We're both older, 60, 70. So it kind of like because it's not like a normal. I don't do it any other time, just before we do. And that, you know, he has to have medication. And so mm-hmm. it's not like I'm just sitting there doing this on my own. No.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to turn this over to Mylon. Alice, after I just make one observation, okay? A lot of women that I've talked to over the years have discovered that the relationship their husband has with pornography has destroyed his ability to be competent sexually.
Without it, he's
not competent. In fact, not only is he incompetent, he's impotent without it. And they're very upset that he has become so dependent on pornography, so involved in pornography, that a real live human being, even one that he loves, isn't enough for him to experience a competent, loving, caring, sexual experience with his wife. Now, there have to be some parallels here. The way you got started in pornography, the fact that it is part of what makes you feel and function sexually. And so whether it's an addiction or not, I think it's a problem. Well, you're calling about it. I think it's a problem that if you worked through the problem, no matter how old you are, I think you would feel so much better as a believer in the sexual experience, the intimacy that you're experiencing. But let's start with Mylon, get his take on this, and then we'll go to Alice.
Thank you for calling, Soda. You know, what I believe that you're experiencing is what I refer to as adrenalized sex, where you have to get an adrenaline boost in order to have a sexual encounter. You have to get kind of revved up, so to speak. But you've been doing it a long time. It's something you learn to do very early on. And unfortunately, if you're used to an adrenalized something getting you kind of ramped up, and I don't necessarily think this has anything to do with age on your part per se, because I'm older than you are, you know, it's about you getting used to something. I don't know how to allow myself to get aroused with, as Steve said, with just another person, with romance. And so what you're doing is, instead of, I just want to make this really clear, I think you're having sex and you're not making love. It's just sex.
Oh.
See, because I'm getting ramped up here and excited about something I see on a video. It's not about the other person that I love, and therefore my experience of making love is not really about making love to this person. It's about having a sexual fulfillment and so it's nothing but sex. Mm-hmm. What I'd love to see the two of you do is come to our intimacy workshop and hear, because you're in the Baltimore area, we're going to be in D.C. in July, Steve, and we're going to be talking about this very subject of how is it that we learn to make love to one another and have true romance in a relationship.
And the headline on that is, it is and makes all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. Mm-hmm. And some people have never experienced making love, only having sex with the person they're married to. Well, I tell you what. Let me send you Every Woman's Battle. Let us tell the two of you about that workshop. And I'll send you my wife's book, my book, The Mediterranean Love Plan, about intimacy.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip, and that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem. And it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at TV.NewLife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of TV.NewLife.com.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Hey, we're back. And this is a really, really cool thing we got here. It is a New Life television program called Choosing to Give. Now, Choosing to Give was done by Alice and Mylon. At least part of it was done by Alice and Mylon. Alice took it, and then she did the whole thing in Spanish. Now, what's so cool about that is some of you, you may have a Spanish relative, parent, grandparent, or a friend. They don't speak English very well. And you could have them watch this, and we'll do more like this. But you have to let us know that it means something to you. So anyway, I'm really excited about this, Alice, and so glad you did it in Spanish. But whether or not it's in Spanish or English, it's really good. Let me play a clip for you, real quick. Here it is.
I'm going to base this talk today off of a Bible verse that I only learned about in my adulthood. I grew up thinking that we should always give, especially when we don't want to. It was this idea in my childhood of being the living martyr, something we laughed about, but we held in very high esteem, that when you do something and you hate doing it, you earn more jewels in your crown, in your heavenly crown, so to speak. Because if you do it and you enjoy it, it's not so much of a sacrifice. So it was a very good thing, in my estimation, to give unhappily. So I was shocked to hear that God loves a cheerful giver and that he actually doesn't want us to give begrudgingly. So the verse is 2 Corinthians 9:7, and it says, "As every man purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or out of compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver."
There you go. Yeah, okay, really good. That is available at TV.NewLife.com. Go. You can watch it for free. TV.NewLife.com. Love it. It's in Spanish. Now we're going to go right back to the phones. And I want to talk with Teresa from Lewisburg, Kansas. Teresa, you're on with Dr. Alice Benton and Mylon Yurkovich. Here we go. Teresa, are you there?
Hello. Yes.
Hi. Yeah, how can we help you?
Well, I've been depressed for like a year and a half. I don't know if it's depression or I fell out of love with my husband by mistake. Because I read the Bible kind of wrong. And
how did you read the Bible wrong there? We really hear the sadness in your voice. How did you read the Bible wrong? Tell us about that.
Using him as Satan and the enemy.
What was that?
I would see him, Satan and the enemy. I would see him as Satan. And like the enemy. And now something happened. I woke up one day and my heart was gone from my husband. And everything shut down in me. And I have regrets that I could have changed. And I should have left things alone.
Okay.
But I didn't. I argued back with him. But then I get this pit in my stomach. It's about my husband. I get it. It's right. It's like a knot in my stomach.
Yeah. Okay.
And I, but I'm kind of going down. It's like I don't want to cook, clean. I don't want to take
Hey, let me
showers.
Ask you this, Teresa. What have you, I mean, it sounds like, you know, classic depression. What have you done? Have you gotten any help? Have you reached out to anybody, a psychologist, psychiatrist, anything like that?
Well, psychiatrist gave me medicine, but the medicine doesn't seem to be working. Any other medicine they give me.
Okay. Well, let me turn this over. I'm going to turn this over to Alice and see if she can give you some help here, okay?
And I don't know if I'm grieving over the loss of a relationship, but I don't know how to get it back.
So, Teresa, I'll ask you a few questions here. You said the meds aren't working yet. How long have you been taking the medication?
Well, I've been doing a year and a half, but they've been switching off and on.
And how long have you been on your current medication?
This one here is going to be going like 3 weeks.
3 weeks, okay.
And nothing seems to be working, and it's just all about love. That's all I think about. My mind's obsessed about my husband. It just all goes back to love.
And what have you done specifically with your husband, with your concerns that you're falling out of love with him? Meaning, what have you done to address your concerns, to address your sense that you and your husband are growing disconnected with one another?
Well, I don't know. I kind of got depressed one day and something shut down to me. My therapist said that I was grieving the loss of a relationship. And I don't know how to get back. I feel like I'm not the same person and I have regrets.
And have you addressed your concerns specifically with your husband?
Yeah, I told him that I felt like I fell out of love. I don't know how to get back. And he tells me it'll take time. But I keep getting that knot in my stomach about my husband, and then it always goes back to the love.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're seeing a psychiatrist and you're working with a therapist, because I think they can both guide you in some very specific steps that you can take to explore what issues in your relationship with your husband or perhaps other things from your life are affecting how you feel towards him and perhaps feeding your depression. So I would ask you to look into two specific things and to talk with your therapist about this to see if the therapist can help you. One is a treatment called Imago Therapy. And Imago Therapy gives you very specific exercises that you can do with your husband that can both help figure out what is getting between the two of you and how to get it back on track. The way you described your relationship, it sounds like it has been much better in the past. You were in love with him previously. And this Imago Therapy, it's by a man named Harville Hendricks. It helps reignite the love by doing these specific activities together. But even more importantly, we have a man with us who is an expert on this. And I want you to look into his book, Mylon's book, How We Love. How We Love will give you some really good ideas about how your past and your childhood may be affecting what you're struggling with right now. So please look into those two things, Imago Therapy and Mylon Yurkovich's, Mylon and Kay's book, How We Love.
Mylon, any thoughts here real quick?
Well, Therese, if I'm not mistaken, I think you called us last Monday. Is that right?
No.
Well, no. Your call sounds very familiar to someone who called us last week. And I gave them some important advice. I said, I want you to go sit down with a good Bible teacher and have them instruct you about who God is, what love is, and also what the position of the believer is with respect to the enemy, and to help start straighten out this misunderstanding that you had, this deception that you fell for, or whatever it was that you were listening to, this wrong message. And I think that's also going to be very important.
All right. I just want to encourage you not to give up on the medication front. In a year and a half, sometimes it takes even longer than that for folks to really and truly find the right medication. So stay after that. Get connected. I love Mylon's little piece of advice here about that Bible teacher. Boy, that could really begin to change. And Imago Therapy, it's been miraculous what it's done for different people over the years. So I'll encourage that also. Before we go to the break, I got to tell you, we've got a matching gift. It's $50,000. I don't know where we are. It's not all been matched yet. Any dollar you give, well, we'll match it with another one from our $50,000 matching gift. And we'll send you this, The Truth About Fear, by Dr. John Townsend, Sherry Keffer, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Everybody has contributed to that. You can learn how to give to that matching gift at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And please, if you can join Club New Life, $30 a month, well, we'll send you the devotional from Take Your Life Back. It's Take Your Life Back Day by Day, our way of saying thank you. And we'll send you some great segments from New Life TV along with that. Now, let's go back to our calls. And how about we go to, it's Ariel. Another Ariel? Does that make sense to you guys?
We hadn't talked to her yet, so yes.
Okay, Ariel. Let's talk with Ariel from Atlanta, Georgia. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Good deal. We were talking about another Ariel earlier at the break, and here you are. So, welcome. Oh, there's the music. Can you hold on?
Yes.
Okay. Hold on, and we'll get right to you. You're listening to New Life Live. If you need some help, we have folks standing by. Well, actually, they're sitting by the phone, 800-NEW-LIFE. Just that simple. It's the same number when you can support us, but we really want to help you, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And what a great time to call to go to Every Man's Battle, May the 5th in Orange County. This could change everything, as you know. Have you heard about a few people in the media who have lost everything because of a problem with sexual integrity? Have you heard about that recently? Happens all the time at every level of fame or obscurity. Get the help before it's too late. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
First time I listened to the program, I was pretty much hooked just because of the honesty and compassion and caring that was given to the callers.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
It's just amazing to me the impact the ministry has had on
people's lives.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and transformation. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I can't think of a better place. There's been times that my husband and I have talked about it when money maybe is a little tighter or whatever, and I thought, well, but it seems like I will turn on the radio and I will hear something. I'll think that's why I do it, because there's just so much help there. And the way it's handled is just awesome.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Our final caller is Ariel. Sorry I couldn't get to everybody else. I had a lot of calls lined up. We're just doing this program today. But Ariel, how could we help you? Don't have a lot of time, but wanted to get to your call.
Yes. I was just wondering how you deal with a husband that is that doesn't communicate very well.
What happens when you try to communicate? What happens when he tries, when you try to communicate?
He'll just kind of, if he's upset, he'll ignore me. He won't say anything at all. And he just kind of, and then he takes, when he's angry, he'll take it out on the, you know, we've got three children. He'll take it out on them.
Oh, boy.
He calls my son names when he's upset, cusses at him. And he's like almost 12 years old. And it just, I don't know what to do sometimes.
Well, have you done anything other than call us today, which we're really glad you did? Have you done anything?
No, you mean as far as getting help?
Yeah.
No, but okay. I just talked to my family about it, but I don't like overwhelming them too much about my problems.
Right.
I don't
okay.
want them thinking bad about my husband, you know.
Well, let's see what Alice is thinking about this and how to help. Really, I know it's frustrating to you, but, oh, I'm so sad for the 12-year-old. Horrible.
Yeah.
Alice?
Ariel, question. Has he ever been physically aggressive towards the kids?
No. And, I mean, you know, of course, he's popped them on the behind before. And but, no, we don't spank our children. You know, he yells at them when he gets upset.
Okay.
I don't really like that. Sometimes he'll cuss at them and call them names.
All right. And what I want to know, too, is if you have addressed this directly with your husband at a time when it's not happening, have you been able to have a calm conversation with him about your concerns when he's not upset and not ignoring you?
Well, usually when nothing's happening, he's on his phone or playing video games.
So kind of disconnected from you?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
So I'm going to give you a couple of steps to consider taking. But my first concern is that you sound isolated with this problem, meaning, understandably, you can't talk about it with people in your life. And you may need, not may, you definitely will need some emotional support to do any of the rest of the things that I'm going to talk to you about. So you'll need even 2 to 3 people that know about it and understand what's going on in your corner to give you the strength and the courage to take the next few steps that I'm going to give you here quickly. So I need you to look into getting support, whether that's in a church group, whether that's going to see a therapist, but you need some people in your corner. The next step is to let your husband know that you need to have a conversation about this and to let him pick the time, but to insist that it happens. So you've got to talk to him about your concerns and request that he get assistance because you love him and you want your family to be healthier. We have to make this request out of love first. But then, depending on how he responds, you may have to start what's called a leverage audit and deciding what boundaries you might set to protect yourself and the children when he gets into these modes, because his behavior is emotionally toxic. There's a book called Boundaries, which you may know of, by Henry Cloud and John Townsend, which will give you further steps to take. But what it really has to do with is figuring out how to limit your exposure to his toxic attitudes or to the way that he yells at the kids. You may have to leave the room.
How do I do that?
Yeah, yeah. You may have to leave the room and let him know. If you're not willing to change or to get help when you start yelling at the kids, we're going to leave the room. We can't be around you when you're treating us like this. So those are a couple of ideas for you to pursue. And I want to see.
Well, Mylan, I just. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Alice.
No, yep. I just want to see what Mylan would add.
Well, Mylan, I just wonder, you know, I mean, you guys and How We Love, you do these attachment styles, and I'm wondering what you're thinking as you hear about a man that belittles a 12-year-old.
Well, I'm thinking he was belittled himself. I'm thinking that you're, I think, I'm believing, or, I'm sorry?
He's actually from a different culture, and his parents, there was poor communication in his family.
Yeah, people can't. Ariel, people can't rise above how they were trained. And what happens is if he was hurt, if he was, you know, what you have is you have another child on your hands when he gets angry. You realize that. You just have a kid that's getting angry and having a temper tantrum and pouting. And I would totally agree with what Alice said. But if you read her book, How We Love, you would possibly be able to see, and I'd begin having him read that with you as well, because if he came from a chaotic, disrespectful, disorganized home, or he came from a home where he had sometimes kindness and sometimes anger, you know, he can ends up being a moody guy and he doesn't know what to do with his anger. But he's been angry before he ever met you. I'm just almost sure.
Well,
he's
from a different culture. He's Laotian, and his mom doesn't speak a bit of English.
Okay, well, but that's doesn't really matter that he's from a different culture. I'm just saying he's probably been angry for a long time, even before he ever met you. That's all I'm trying to say. He probably manages his emotions the same way he's done his whole life. I get angry, I blow up, and then I retreat and I withdraw and I isolate and I pout. So that's not new to him.
Right. Well, you know, so often, guys, we hear somebody say, well, this person is from a different culture. And I think people use their cultural difference or the cultural situation to kind of make an excuse for some not so great behavior. And I don't care what culture somebody is from. It's not right in a culture to abuse a woman and to yell at 12-year-old children. That's not a cultural thing. That's a character thing. And it transcends all cultures. So don't be sitting around thinking, oh, well, I just got to let this go because of the culture this guy's from. No. No. You expect character no matter the culture. All right. Now I'm going to send her How We Love, and I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. Because in there, you've got to, I mean, this is kind of boundaries on steroids a little bit there. You got to become the decider, your defender, and the developer of good things for you and those children. I'll send that to you also. Mylan, I forgot to mention to you, you mentioned adrenalized sex. Would high fructose corn syrup sex, would that be the same kind of thing there?
I don't think so.
All right.
But
curious. Okay. Yeah,
thanks for bringing that though.
You're welcome. All right. If you need some help, we actually will do everything we can to help you. All you got to do is call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. There are so many great things coming up. The Restore Conference that was so powerful this past weekend is going to be, again, July 21st. And it is amazing. Shelly Martinkus does it. Her husband, Jason, does the Everyman's Battle one. It really works. Intimacy and Marriage is also July 21st in Washington, D.C. And Take Your Life Back, September the 8th. Our Life Recovery Conference, which is not an intensive. It's a 5-9 conference. We hardly ever do conferences. It's in Leesburg, Virginia. And you can find out about it at liferecoverygroups.com. Larry Sonnenberg is in Greece today. He's trying to figure out a way for us to get more people on that trip. If you want to go retrace the footsteps of Paul with us in October, get on the waiting list and we'll see how Larry does in opening up some new spaces. We just ran out quicker than any other trip we've ever taken. But hopefully things can open up.
And Steve,
now we do. Yeah.
Can I briefly say, many women at the Restore Weekend talked about how their husbands went to EMB and how it was a life
what
changer
is EMB?
To every EMB man's battle. And yeah, it doesn't matter if the infidelity was recent or decades ago. There's so much healing available there.
You bet. All right, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE for Restore or Every Man's Battle. See you next time. Thanks, Mylan. Thanks, Alice. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.